Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller alongside Josh Stackhouse, Davis Rangy, and Brett Hollander. So Washington and Oregon have decided we're going to stay put. Or more so, the Big Ten has told them to stay put. Do you think, you know, one of the things I first thought of when I saw it, I was like, yeah, this is probably the Big Ten giving the Pac-12 a chance to stabilize itself before they go and poach the rest of the members out of this conference, especially some of those schools in the Northwest, because we all know what's going to happen to teams, you know, with Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado. We know where they'll go, but it's those Northeast schools that you're worried about, and you start thinking about the resources they've got, the facilities they've got, and it's just not on par with what the rest of the conference would be. So what were your all's takeaways? Stack, start with you first. What was the first thing that went through your head when you saw this morning that Washington and Oregon are staying put?
First thing that went to my head was in that tweet or whatever that I seen was they're waiting on Notre Dame's decision. This is the Big Ten is, and they basically just said, "Hey, hold your horses, Oregon and Washington." I think it's a good point by you that it's like, "Hey, let's settle the waters some. Let the Pac-12 figure out what they're going to do because I'm pretty sure they know what's coming."
If they would have poached both of them today, they would have dissolved.
Like, what they announced that they're open to adding new teams, but there's nothing out there that's really worthwhile that I don't think they could even save that conference. Because, I mean, it'd be so weird to grab, like, a couple ACC schools and ship them across the country. But, I mean, California, USC and UCLA are doing that now.
Right.
But if they're waiting on Notre Dame, I think basically is if the Big Ten grabs Notre Dame, they go ahead and grab Oregon.
Yeah.
But I think that leaves Washington out to dry in a weird way. And I've seen maybe Stanford's name coming in with Notre Dame as well, two very prestigious, you know, academic schools.
There's sort of that semi-rivalry
that they've got. You see that, but I really expect Oregon to eventually be in the Big Ten. The style of play is similar to what you get at a USC and UCLA. You know, all the Pac-12 teams almost play kind of similar to the Big Ten, just almost not as big.
No, I get what you're saying, and, you know, we start talking about the facilities and stuff like we did yesterday. Stanford does have the facilities. If they did want to try to keep up, they probably could.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just their football team for the past three seasons has not – I mean, they're not even reaching 500.
It just depends on, like, how much – I'm telling you, I feel like this conference breakdown is based out of football and basketball solely. And then, like you were talking about yesterday, them being able to, you know, make these other smaller sports – you know, kind of do what they will or what they want in a way. But I think it's really coming down to your men's basketball and your football program and how much you're going to be willing to keep up with all these other schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with Stackhouse on this one. I think they're waiting on Notre Dame to see what kind of decision they make. I think Notre Dame, they're kind of mulling over the decision, but I think eventually they will be forced to go into the Big Ten. And in terms of Oregon and Washington, I think Oregon is basically a shoe-in into the Big Ten. In terms of their brand and how much it spreads across the nation, it's bigger than Washington, and that'll bring in more money for the Big Ten. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to Washington because, like y'all said, they're just kind of out to dry at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that gets brought up with Notre Dame any time that we talk about something like this is the fact that they have the NBC contract.
Yeah.
The fact that all their games are on not ESPN, but NBC. And now we're seeing we're in a time where streaming is more important almost than live broadcasting.
Oh, yeah. You've seen Apple. I've seen the thing about Apple wanting to just they started talking to the Big Ten again about getting rights and stuff like that because of all this news about California and all that market.
Well, I mean, look at MLB. Look at who was it? MLS, actually.
Yeah, they did that giant. Brett? Yeah.
Who's that?
MLS, they're doing a kind of a contract with Apple TV.
Yeah, it was like a 10-year contract.
Yeah, so
you know, they went up from making $3 million, they're gonna be making almost 10.
Exactly.
A new contract.
Well, and now you don't have to worry about games being blacked out. You know, that's one of the issues that you have. If you have MLB extra innings, it's like if I want to watch the Cubs, I can't do it on MLB extra innings if it's on a TV station in my region, but when I go to that region, the game is not being broadcast.
Gotta get you a VPN.
And we're talking about Notre Dame and their NBC deal, but this past year they did that streaming game against Toledo.
On Peacock.
Yeah, on the Peacock service.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I never thought. I was like, I'm just going to follow it on my phone. But I did end up getting the Peacock deal just to watch that game. So
I'm telling you, there's so many platforms now, especially through, like, I mean, there's Paramount, there's Peacock, there's Apple, there's HBO, there's the new DirecTV streaming service, you know, that they came out with.
Yeah, but that's pretty much DirecTV. Just
yeah, but
same
just
channels.
A streaming now. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So, like, eventually, dude, there's going to be huge TV deals over this stuff. But I don't even know how much that even...
See, I think the streaming services are going to end up taking over in the long run, whether that be YouTube TV, whether that be Sling, Hulu Sports. Fubo's in trouble right now, so I don't think they're going to last much longer. But there are so many streaming options out there that people really do save money on, because the one thing that people don't take into account when they're signing up for a package through Xfinity or AT&T, when you do a TV package, you have a regional sports networking fee that's tacked on every month. Then you also have a broadcasting fee. Then you have a couple other fees that are tacked on to that people don't ever think about. And before you know it, you're paying $220 a month for internet and cable.
Yeah, and I only use TV for sports.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I don't even watch TV. It's probably 80-20. I watch YouTube 80% of the time, TV maybe 20.
Yeah, it's just when the sports game's on. I mean, I don't think I've watched a live TV show in a long, long time, dude.
No, the only time that I watch live TV is when I'm up at the parents' house and...
oh, yeah, that's what they got on.
What's the show with Al Bundy? Married with Children?
Al Bundy?
Yeah.
How does that name ring a bell? Hold on.
He's the guy that sticks his hand down in his pants when he's sitting on the couch and he talks about his wife. He says the only time that they ever did anything in bed, two bad things came out of it, and there were his two kids.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Married with Children, you're right.
Yeah.
I forgot this dude existed. The hand down the pants sitting down is the first image that came up.
What if we go back on camera, and that's just what I do. That's just what I do.
Thank God there's a table.
Even worse.
But in all seriousness, I think that we're going to see a lot of these conferences set up deals with streaming services. Don't be surprised if SEC is the first one to go with YouTube TV or Hulu Live. Because, Hulu Live is ESPN, Disney. They're all in together.
Doesn't YouTube TV have something with the NFL, too, already?
I mean, Amazon Prime does.
Yeah,
Amazon Prime. That's right. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I mean, there's that streaming service, too, that I even forget about, because they're doing Thursday Night Football?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there's so much to come from this, because, I mean, like he said, I was thinking, Oregon's definitely a shoe-in, and if they're holding off, I still think Washington makes it in. Because if you grab Oregon, you grab Notre Dame, you're expecting just for that all to collapse. And yeah, I don't know where a lot of them fumble, but I don't think you go straight to a two conference immediately. I think you either dwindle down to four and the ACC and Big 12 are just completely garbage, or you break down the ACC and bolster up the Big 12 and the SEC and the Big 10, and you kind of shift a lot of schools around.
Well, there were reports last night coming out that Fox was pretty much the head of all this.
Really?
Yep.
I told you, bro. Fox is on one with college football, dude. They've been on one.
Kind of wish they'd take over the SEC instead of ESPN, to be honest with you.
I'm just glad CBS isn't a part of this. I hate.
See, Fox and ESPN are the big boys now.
They'd be CBS
to the curb.
It's going to be crazy.
I'm kind of glad that CBS is not going to be hosting the game of the week anymore. That music gives me more anxiety than any song that's ever played in sports. I can listen to the Florida Fight song for 24 hours and be fine. You give me 30 seconds of the CBS Game of the Week song, and I'm needing a blanket and a hot pocket, bro.
Just a bunch of nightmares, that music. I mean, I don't even remember the last time we had a good game with that music.
Georgia 2016, yeah, probably the last.
2016,
we just
Florida,
never.
Georgia.
And before that, I couldn't tell you when.
Exactly.
It's really because we always get them on, like, you know, Georgia or Florida, and we just haven't been able to beat them. It just sucks. But I don't know, man. Basically, I think what's going to happen is we call it the Great Shuffle. It's just teams are just going to be dropped and picked up all over the place. When they finally, I mean, do you think they just leave the NCAA and just set this thing up? But people are talking, okay, so, like, do you agree with this? The one thing I do not agree with is, like, people are going to say that this is going to break away and become, like, a minor league sport.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you get that, because these are still tied to universities. These kids are still going to probably be negotiated with scholarships and stuff like that. Do you think it's ever strays away from being a college sport and become a minor league? Because I don't even think you could. It's already a minor league. I mean, the best players in the country are there.
Yeah.
There's no minor league, because Canadian football and all these other leagues, this is where you go to die.
Yeah. I mean,
I would never consider it a minor league. I just consider it just a college with money.
I feel like, and of course, the NFL is never going to have a D league.
No, because that'd be super weird. Just risk of energy in injuries, the time frame of prime, you know, you get. You should be that young 20 to 28 range. And that's usually when you're in your best, and you get your veteran years in 28 through 34, kind of, and then you retire.
The big thing with college is they're going to have to take classes of some sort. Now, they can come here for 4 years and just take a bunch of phys ed classes and life would be fine. You know, they're going to keep the grades to make the NCAA happy. They're going to technically be classified as a student athlete. But as far as seeing it turn into semi-pro, I don't think it is.
I feel like that's way, way too different.
865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. And let's go to Martin. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, Jake.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. Who was that the Celtics traded for the Indiana Pacers today?
Martin, they got Malcolm Brogdon from the Indiana Pacers.
How big is he?
He's about 6'4". He's a combo guard, so he can help Marcus Smart out on the point guard. He's a good playmaker. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He's a really nice pickup for your Celtics.
What did he average a game last year with the Pacers?
Let me look that up for you. But he averaged about 19 a game last year, but he only played about half the season.
Yeah, he's just a little bit injury-prone, but if he settles into an organization and kind of just gets in his groove, he's a great pickup for the Celtics, and they got him for cheap.
They give up a 23 number one draft pick, though.
And Aaron Nesmith.
They got him pretty cheap, though.
Yeah, they got him for that. Daniel Tice and Aaron Nesmith.
Yeah.
So Celtics aren't really losing much there. And they got a big bang for their buck.
And, Jake, are you going to have the Weatherby be kids announcement on at 7 o'clock where he goes?
Yeah, we'll be announcing that as soon as that happens. Of course, I've not heard much behind it, but, you know, of course.
I'm hearing it's down in Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and South Carolina.
That's exactly what I'm hearing. We're just, waiting on the big news. Of course, the kid, the running back named Webb, he committed to Auburn today. So we missed out on him. Or was it Cobb?
Yeah. Jeremiah Cobb.
Well, we're still going to go after Deshaun Bishop at Carnes.
Yeah, and I think he's going to land at Tennessee. He's a big Tennessee lean, Tennessee guy. And really, I don't think he's got a reason to go anywhere else. I think he'd fit right in with what we've got over there, Martin.
Yes. But see, that boy's name is Malcolm Brogdon.
Yes.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin.
All right, bye.
Old Martin, a legend caller of the drive.
Heck yes. Thank you, Martin, for the call then.
Love, Martin. All right, stay with us. Overtime continues. Back with more right after this. Apex. Welcome back to Overtime. So I did see something on Twitter today in the form of a big orange block with the letter S. Think the letters are coming in.
I saw Mike Eckler tweet about the letters today.
In the stadium.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about, dude. I was like, a big block of S. I started looking at Mario stuff. I was thinking of everything that could happen with a block. And I was like, oh, yeah, the letters. I've seen that picture. They look good. Look big.
They look big.
Big and bold.
Scary.
Fear,
and orange.
Fear the letters. Fear the letters.
Things were better when we had those letters up.
A great time to be alive.
You know when we took those letters down? 2008.
Did we really? That's such a terrible idea. Send us into a
what a coincidence.
A spiral.
What a coincidence that it just so happens that when the letters were taken down, we turned to shambles.
It's when we stopped caring. As a organization, the fans never stopped caring.
And Stack, you, of course, you remember earlier in the week, I went haywire with a 32-team college football playoff, and you may or may not have went haywire last night.
It took me like 4 hours to find all these like numbers of how much each football program's kind of worth or how much revenue they like got in. It took me so long. I found a website that had them all pretty together. I just could never find out what Rutgers is doing. Everything I
had. They private school.
I don't know. But basically, every time I looked up what they made, it was just like, they're not doing so great. every article.
Which, and it's funny you say that, because there's only a handful of programs in America that actually turn a profit off football.
Yeah, there was a few that just basically scraped by even.
Some are probably losing money.
I'm pretty sure I didn't put them in order or anything, but when I went through all this, basically the Big Ten has outmade the SEC the past 3 or 4 years. They're right. Beating them out by $40 million, $50 million per year.
Yeah.
I think that's a big reason why the SEC went to go grab the Texas market with Texas and then Oklahoma as well.
Yeah.
And to rival that, to continue to outplay. Because, I mean, dude, what surprised me the most was how much – Illinois still makes per year. I mean, they're making revenue-wise $58 million. I don't know what their profit margin is. I mean, most everybody's profit was about 10 to 15, excluding, you know, your top 10. Like in Notre Dame, OSU, Ohio State, Michigan are in the 130 mils. Penn State's in the 100 mil. Texas A&M's in the 140s. Alabama's in the 130s. Georgia's in the 120s. Auburn, LSU, both in the 110s. Florida,
Tennessee in that 90 range.
Tennessee's in 113 mil is how much they make per year.
Nice.
Not including, like, you know, what they expend out. I was just putting out how much they bring in per year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the biggest thing is if you can strike a deal like this or something, you're going to increase your profit margins easily. And with the stuff that we're doing. So, I mean, looking at that, that helped me eliminate a lot of teams because I went down I created a three-team – an entire three-team conference schedule. Well, not a schedule, but, you know, three conferences. I broke them down. I broke the ACC up, and I broke the Big 12 up. And what I ended up with was leaving out Boston College, Wake Forest, NC State, Virginia, Syracuse, Cal, and Oregon State. Ended up being who kind of got left behind.
And Rutgers as well.
And Rutgers, yeah. I dropped Rutgers from the Big Ten to include. And when I say this, I mean, I have a lot of ability to, like, you know, interchange some of these additions. Because what my final conclusion was, I split Duke and North Carolina up.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Can you really do that?
Yeah, I think you can. I don't think that the rivalry is what everybody's really worried about.
Well, people also thought that we could never split up Texas and Texas A&M, and they also thought we could never split up Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
You're going to expect some rivalries to be broken, and honestly, if you want to put that against really what you're going to lose, I mean, Duke's football program is never going to be the caliber the SEC really wants.
And I thought about it last night, the Duke-UNC thing.
Couldn't you switch Tech and UNC?
Well, so I tried to leave everybody where they already were and just break everything down. What I really thought you could do if you really wanted Duke to become part of the SEC is you drop Vanderbilt and you bring in Duke to replace that academic prowess of Vanderbilt, you know?
I like that easy win, though. Vandy.
But, I mean, that's an easy football win for Duke. What do you mean? That's easy money. And Vanderbilt's basketball program is really no joke to, like, easy win it over because, I mean, they kind of took us to court for a while there.
And then it gets us to get rid of Tim Corbin.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, but so what I've got basically is you leave the Big Ten the way it is, you drop Rutgers, you add USC, UCLA, and then you bring in Oregon, Washington, Notre Dame, Pitt, and Washington State, and that makes up your Big Ten. These conferences are going to have an even 20 teams, and then you go to the SEC, you leave the SEC exactly the way it is, you don't add or drop anybody, you add Texas and Oklahoma, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, and Clemson. And I mean that I feel like that's if you want to try to stick to geography as much as possible and not make this so chaotic.
The SEC would be the only one that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's really clean. I think the Big Ten absorbs a lot of, you know, the West Coast and that kind of range. You leave Texas and all those schools to the Big 12. You leave the Big 12 the way it is, you know, with West Virginia, TCU, Oregon State, Oklahoma State, or not Oregon State, Oklahoma State.
Right.
Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor, and Kansas University. And like you said, it becomes a huge basketball conference.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, those schools right there alone are going to be great basketball-wise.
Which that's what the Big 12 is known for right now anyway. Yeah, it's more of a basketball conference than it is a football
that's
conference.
That's fine. I mean, Kansas did just whoop up on everybody. So.
Yeah. And Arizona played us pretty well. Then the Big 12, never mind.
You have the four that they're bringing in, BYU, Cincy, UCF, and Houston. You expect really all four of those schools to make a jump in the next 2 years, you know, just from the money, the excess money they're going to get from being in the Big 12, even though it's not
right.
Insane. You just expect, you know, that they have a jump of money, they have more funds they can bring in, more kids they can bring in, more people want to play there because it's a now bigger conference stage. And then
when you look at the location of those schools as well, Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's right big where city. It's not bad at all.
UCF is in Orlando. You got the Disney tie. And you got Houston. Enough said.
Exactly. I mean, if the Big 12 is already bringing in UCF, I mean, that's alone a weird big, like a Big 12 school anyway. So if you're going to do that, I've never really had a problem with bringing in like a school like Stanford.
And BYU's still in a big market also. They're right outside Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, yeah, it's not something you think about just being, you know, BYU, but they do have a good market. And then you get Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and I included Stanford. Because I don't know, I don't see how you leave Stanford behind and out of this because it's such a historic school. You know, it's got a lot of prowess when you think of Stanford because, I mean, especially growing up in our generation, Andrew Luck, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, there's some good kids that have come out of Stanford. You've had some good receivers. Yeah, I mean, it's just a school that you don't want to see kind of get left behind.
So where does Cal fall in?
I have Cal leaving behind. That's another school I didn't add because I put Duke, Louisville, and Va Tech in the Big 12 as well, and that rounds out the 20 for them.
So I would go, like you said, you'd put Washington State in the Big 10. I'd put Cal in over them and leave Washington State behind.
Really? I didn't know what to do with that last spot. And so my thing was is if you wanted to get Duke in the SEC, you drop Vandy, move Duke over, and that leaves an open spot for a Cal or – who was it? Like Oregon State or somebody like that to bring in, you know, just to bring into the Big 12. Just if you don't want to leave anybody behind and you want to get rid of Vanderbilt because they really make the least in the SEC.
But about the whole Duke thing, I mean, we can really like every year in basketball still Kentucky and Louisville, although they're in separate conferences, they play out of conference every single year. They play every year, so even though they wouldn't be playing twice a year like they do now, you could still play Duke and UNC in basketball.
Like I said yesterday, you know, I feel like they've made a mess and they don't know how to fix it. Do you think that once they expand, because, I mean, the 20-team conferences, it's coming. Like, yesterday and this morning was a chance for the Pac-12 to save itself. And, of course, they put out their statement and whatnot. They put out this morning they're open to expansion. I read that as one word. Help.
Yeah, do you not expect them to just become like the All-American Conference? That's what I'm thinking. Like, schools are going to have to fall into. Like, the ACC Conference and the Pac-12 become a group of five school, like, conference because it's just going to be three. I don't want to move it to two yet. I even went further than my three group conference, and I made it a two 30-team conferences.
Well, I mean,
that can be chiseled down to 24, but I couldn't decide, man. Just way too many logistics, and I was not about to sit through that last night.
Well, and you think about it, it's like some of those schools will drop. Because you look back at the Southwest Conference and the members in it. I mean, you had TCU, Houston, SMU, and Rice. I mean, keep in mind, these teams that I just mentioned, we see them as pushovers now. Maybe not SMU so much or TCU now. But a few years ago, I mean, they went to a bottom-of-the-barrel conference after playing big-time college football. So it can happen.
It can and it does, but...
And you look at the American Athletic Conference now, you've got, this is not including the teams leaving, Tulsa, Tulane, Temple, SMU, USF, Memphis, and Eastern Carolina.
Well, and sadly, out of that group, I think Memphis might have the best overall in terms of football and basketball. Maybe SMU.
Yeah, you could
Those two schools could go somewhere. You could
bring them in, but I just don't see that happening either. I don't feel like you're going to grab any of these smaller market teams that are like that if you're going to make this three conference thing. I think you're going to have to work with what you know works. And let's see, what was it? My thing about like dropping Vandy makes – they pull in 32 mil, and they're at the bottom, and Mississippi State brings in 38. And these are like 2019-2020 numbers.
And you're going to have – I'll tell you another conference that's going to have to figure stuff out. Sorry, Stack.
No, you're good.
Conference USA, because, you know, they made this big deal – when was this? Last year, you know, because in 2013 or 2014, they just brought in MTSU. They just worked their way out of the Sun Belt. Basically, it took all the Sun Belt teams and brought them over once they created the American Athletic Conference, and you got schools like Memphis that were in Conference USA to make that jump. Now you've got Conference USA that's only going to have five members left: Florida International, Louisiana Tech, MTSU, UTEP, and Western Kentucky.
Hey, they're going to have to fill a void there too. I mean, you can fill that with some of these smaller, less known ACC markets and Pac-12 markets easily.
Well, and I was sitting there thinking, it's like, well, could the American Athletic Conference absorb these guys? And you start looking at the teams I just mentioned, you start looking at those facilities, you compare them to schools like Memphis, you know, and other current schools like UCF, Houston, USF. Number one, the facilities can't compete, and the talent can't compete. They're better off going back to the Sun Belt.
I mean, like, even Washington State and Cal, like, they would blow those programs out of the water.
Yeah.
So, now, think of it this way, is it the Pac-12 absorbing those schools and raising the Group of Five standard level to almost a Pac-12 D1 level. You know what I'm saying? Like a Power Five, but they're so far off from the SEC and Big Ten.
It's not even close.
And so that's my point of, like, if you take these smaller market schools, you're telling me Memphis, when they were like a few years ago, they couldn't rival Oregon State or Washington State in a game. And I really think they could. And even teams like UCF, when they went undefeated.
I mean, they did beat – who'd they beat? They beat LSU, didn't they?
Yeah.
UCF. No, they beat Auburn.
They beat Auburn.
Yeah, they beat Auburn.
But you can find a way to make those schools better and meet the standard of like a smaller market Pac-12 team. Instead of them becoming less, you just leave them where they're at. I mean, they're stuck. That's why the Pac-12 is having to dissolve, because they've not hit a market that's worth it.
No. I mean, really, you know, the schools that we just mentioned out of the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, Memphis, SMU, maybe. South Florida, maybe. I mean, their football team's garbage.
They do have that Miami market. Are they in Tampa or Miami? Either one is still a huge market.
USF is in Tampa.
Yeah, still a big market.
Oh, yeah.
And you got Tulane, New Orleans. You got Temple, Philadelphia.
You can make something out of that. I mean, these schools have not been – I mean, you're looking at Memphis before Cincinnati got big. I mean, they kind of were like – they were putting in work. What was it, Paxton Lynch. That team.
Riley Ferguson.
Yeah.
D transfer.
I mean, those they're not a terrible team. It's not bad D1 football at all. And there's definitely on days where you can see them battling a Boston College every year. You can see them battling a Syracuse. Like, I mean, the ACC is weak. They have Clemson. I really don't. When is the last time? I mean, Florida State hasn't been good since Jimbo was there.
Jimbo ran that place.
And
the
those are the teams that are going to get poached by these bigger conferences.
Yeah.
And so you're left with not a lot in the ACC. As historical as they are, they're not big boys.
No.
They're just not.
No, I mean, you can say that about all the Florida schools. You know, every last one of them, they're still struggling to find an identity. And, you know, once they fired Coker down in Miami, it's been a revolving door of coaches. It still is. Florida State has been, you know, Jimbo Fisher, you know, once he took over for Bobby Bowden, and after that, it's just been a revolving door where they've not given a guy a chance, and I don't even know who their coach is right now.
Mike Norvell.
I thought they had fired him, but I guess not. and then Florida, good Lord. But I don't know what to do with the Pac-12, man. I just don't.
Because there's no saving it, man. There's nobody they can poach. I mean, even if they poach the bottom of the Big Ten, you're not going to be able to poach people into this league knowing that it's fallen this far already. I mean, losing USC and then the basketball power of UCLA.
Yeah.
What is the draw to come to the Pac-12?
There's not a draw.
And that's the only reason why the Big 12 saved themselves is because they had those four teams that needed Power 5 exposure. And those were the best of the best that you were going to get. You could maybe squeeze Memphis. You could maybe squeeze SMU. Those are the last two in that conference that I think are worth anything.
But even with their past recent success, people still don't take Memphis seriously. Like Fred Smith, he's the CEO of FedEx, because, you know, FedEx is headquartered in Memphis. He put a bid in for $500 million for Memphis to join the Big 12 a couple years ago. They still denied that, so it's going to be tough for them to get in.
The thing is, Memphis has the resources, too. That's what's so weird about it, is that Memphis probably could get enough, you know, get enough money in, get enough recruits, and get the type of recruits that they would be able to compete in the Big 12, especially in football in its current state. If you're the Pac-12, though, you don't have teams that are right there, like sitting in your backyard, you know, like the Big 12 does with Memphis, or like they do with Louisville. Schools that could potentially make a move over there eventually. But when you're the Pac-12, would you rather try to build your conference back up and settle for being a lower tier like Conference USA or the AAC, or do you just go out on top and you just shut it down?
I don't think you shut it down, because you already have – they just hired – I don't know. That's such a hard question, because there's no way they pack it up and just become Conference USA. You think if anything happens, you think that the opposite, Conference USA just becomes a new Pac-12, or they fizzle both names and create a whole new conference. And they just reallocate all those conferences, man. Just switch up Mountain West, switch up all that stuff. Because, I mean, you still got to think, I mean, what is the Mountain West basically equivalent to the Conference USA?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The American Conference and stuff, is that all the same, basically?
American Athletics a little bit. It's like your upper tier.
Yeah, but it's the same level.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you do anything, you make the Mountain West and the Pac-12 almost mesh. Leave all the American Conference alone and add a couple teams to them, pull some of these lower-level big Pac-12 ACC schools in and create a new, more competitive group of five. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
I feel like they would shut it down. I was listening to a podcast last night with Josh Pate, and he was saying pretty much people haven't looked at the Pac-12 really as a powerhouse or anything since Matt Leinart, and I don't even remember that.
Oh, that's so true.
And they had Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lindell White.
Oregon was good after that for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
With Mariota.
Even before Mariota, D'Anthony Thomas and all them, the running backs they had there for a while were just stupid good.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they're going to have to pack it up, because those big-name schools, they're gonna flee. And then if Notre Dame picks the Big Ten, you imagine the SEC is going to they have to grab other people. Like, we're forgetting the SEC is going to have to match some of these other acquisitions, because if Notre Dame gets picked up, that's one more team than the SEC has. If Oregon gets picked up, that's two more. They're going to have to grab two, and you expect that to be a Clemson or a Florida State and Miami. I fully expect Florida State, Miami, and Clemson to become a part of this SEC.
And it wouldn't be a shock at all.
Because there's no other market that the SEC can really grasp.
No.
That they don't already have. Well, grabbing the Texas is basically what they need, and then, you know, the Big 12 will keep staying talk with the West Coast and then the Arizonas.
Yeah. It's a big mess. Right now, it's just one big mess, and we don't know what's about to happen.
It's the great shuffle.
Or when it's going to – yeah, the great shuffle is exactly what it is.
Great shuffle, yeah.
All right, stay with us. More overtime coming up right after this. Yeah. Welcome back to Overtime. We still, 24 hours later, do not have an answer. It only took me 5 hours to come up with an idea to solve our college football playoff crisis. We got something here, but we don't know what to do with the rest of the teams in the Pac-12. And Stackhouse has the best idea that I've heard.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The crowd goes wild. I hear them cheering outside.
But here's the problem. The people that are making these decisions are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is money. They're not using common sense. Geography is thrown out the window. Tradition is thrown out the window. Really hard to see UCLA breaking apart from Cal, being a part of the same university system as Cal. But
I didn't even think about that, honestly.
Yeah. USC's private school, but UCLA is tied in with UC Berkeley.
Yeah.
So that was just weird. I never thought I'd see that.
That's crazy. I did not think about that when that split came out.
Yeah.
I never thought of that. That's a huge – it's crazy how they were able to do that.
Have we ever thought about teams maybe like – you just mentioned Cal and Washington State just – dropping football altogether?
Well, I mean, they could pull the Colorado baseball approach and just say, yeah, we're not making any money with it. It's of no benefit to us. Let's just get rid of it. But the thing is, with Washington State, funny enough, they actually have a big rivalry with Idaho.
I did not know that.
I mean, they're bringing in 45 mil. They're making more a year in football than Vandy does. At least, like I said, these numbers I found were from 2019-2020 season. And they pulled in more money than Vandy. They're pulling in 45. Cal's only making 33 in football.
Are you serious?
Oregon State's at 35. Those are the two least in that conference in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 only made $533 million. The ACC made less. So did the Big 12.
You're serious?
Yeah. ACC made 496, and the Big 12 made 409. And then, you know, you're looking at the Big 10 and the SEC making 768, and the SEC making 728. I mean, that from $700 million to the next closest person being a Pac-12 with $500 million, of course these conferences are going to implode. Because now, with Texas and Oklahoma, yeah. USC and UCLA, that number jumps from 700 mil to, let's see, Texas makes $147 million annually, Oklahoma $129, USC is $93, and UCLA is $41. That's just football alone.
So do you think the group of five conferences just stick where they're at or try to? Because, I mean, the Conference USA is imploding.
Yeah.
Like I said, they've only got five teams left. And does anybody, like, that follows primetime Power 5 football give a damn about anything that these group of five schools are doing?
You know,
I personally do not.
I don't. And let me tell you about some of these group
of
five.
I like football.
Let me tell you about some of these group of five fans. They're the weirdest people.
They're the worst people, dude.
They are so weird.
So true.
They're so invested in a program. And they just, the whole We Want Bama thing with Cincinnati and stuff is just the funny, and like UCF and all that. They do not understand.
We don't even want Bama.
No. No one really wants Bama.
No.
I'm a Ohio State fan. I do not really like playing Bama. I know that we can beat them, and that's the reason why I kind of enjoy the game. But usually we're going to lose that game. No one wants to play Bama.
No. I want them off of my schedule.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing it. I'm over it.
They got a lot of confidence for just being a group of five.
Well, it's like MTSU thinking that they can actually come in here and dominate Tennessee. They believe that. You know what I'm talking about, Stack. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
They're super weird anyway already. I hope they know that.
The funniest thing that I ever saw when I was down there, aside from them trying to put an MTSU shirt on me when I wore a Tennessee shirt my first day on campus, I was covering the baseball team when I was doing the student ran television station. And I'm going to report on the baseball game. And this kid was like, you live here? I'm like, I go to school here. I'm originally from Knoxville. Well, my papaw, he's from here. And he said, we cheer for MTSU and not that team that wears orange out east. And I was like, someone has poisoned this kid. Damn. I'm like, someone needs to call DCS on whoever told him that.
Imagine raising your children to like a loser. I mean, to be honest, I know that feeling. I'm a Browns fan. I was raised to like the worst team in the world. So I know that feeling.
Yeah, that's a professional team.
Dude, growing up is so hard losing every year. And that's what I'm saying. I at least have a professional team that loses. They are loving the MTSU. It's super sad.
There's people that do it for Western Kentucky.
Oh, dude, Western Kentucky fans are as bad as MTSU fans.
Marshall.
Memphis.
Oh, it's crazy. Marshall I get because there's history.
They crashed the plane and became famous.
Yeah, and it was a great movie, too.
It is.
So that's okay, but
did you cry during We Are Marshall?
Yeah, dude, of course. You know what movie I don't like that everyone just loves?
What?
Remember the Titans. It's so overloved, super overloved. Friday Night Lights, 10 times better movie. 10 times, and y'all can hate me all you want.
I do love me some Friday Night Lights.
I do not like Remember the Titans, the most insane movie. Makes no sense.
My favorite part about that movie.
Such a terrible movie.
Is when they're at the diner after they get a big win or whatever. And the sign outside says, Titans eat free. Well, they're all eating. And they don't stop eating. They go outside and erase the word free. And it just says, Titans eat.
Yeah.
That is the only thing I can really remember from that movie.
Right side. Left side. I can't stand that movie. It's a Disney movie, man. Disney don't make good movies. They make
Glory
okay
Road.
Movies. They make family movies, I guess. But
Glory Road was good.
Yeah. I mean,
Mighty Ducks.
What's that Brian movie? You know about the Bears player, Brian?
Brian Urlacher?
No, the movie with
Brian. Not Brian.
The movie about.
You're talking about Vince Papale?
It's like Love and Brian or something like that. You know, the Bears player has cancer. They become best friends. White dude, black dude. Ridiculous. Hold on.
Glory Road was a good movie.
It was.
Well, this is another good Disney movie.
Brian's Song. How do y'all know Brian's Song? Y'all have never seen Brian's Song?
No.
Oh my gosh.
What's the other one? The Ernie Davis story. And Stackhouse has lost his mind.
Oh, my gosh. I just said the name. I couldn't remember because I got three guys who have uncultured opinions. This guy calls in and goes, it's Brian's Song, you idiot. I feel so offended.
Is he on the line?
No, he hung up immediately.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's probably somebody we know.
We should be yelling at these three. How have y'all never seen Brian's Song? I watched that in school.
It was probably Bear that called in.
Hurts my feelings. It's a good movie.
Ernie Davis story is a good. Is that a Disney film?
I don't think so.
It's a good movie. You okay, Stack?
No, I'm hurt. I'm crying. I've never been called an idiot before. Not true.
Did it sound like Bear?
No.
Was it a raging dude like Bear?
My mom texts me 6 times Brian's Song. What, how is everybody so offended? I just forgot the name. I had the name right. They're so hateful. But anyway.
Poor Stackhouse.
Remember the Titans is not a good movie. That's my point of all of this.
I don't really care for it, to be honest with you.
People die on the hill over that movie. Coach Carter, better movie.
Coach Carter,
that is a
much
good
better movie.
Yeah.
I love Coach Carter.
Sick movie. Other movies like that. You know.
Gridiron Gang.
Gridiron Gang! Banging movie. Love that movie so much. I cry at that movie all the time. The Rock, tremendous in that movie. One of his best.
By Rudy.
Rudy was a cap of Sig. That's a fact.
What are you?
Cap of Sig.
Okay, I should make sure you weren't just like.
I'm literally wearing the letters on my shirt.
I don't know. I do not know Greek letters, dude.
You know who else was a cap of Sig?
What?
Harambe.
R.I.P.
Oh, my God.
It's on my shirt. That's the design on the back. Best t-shirt chair.
I hated the Harambe era.
What was wrong with Harambe?
Oh, my God. It's such a terrible. Never mind. I'm going to get hurt for this one, too. It's the most over. Just the most over, just used thing.
But to answer your question about the movie Rudy, I don't like it. It's fictionalized. It's just like The Wolf of Wall Street. What's some of that stuff name? Never happened. Like the whole chest beating, the hail, hail.
Hey, that's a great scene.
That never actually happened.
Well, yeah, it's super sick, though.
It's still a movie. Wolf of Wall Street, though, is still a movie that people talk about today.
Well, yeah. It's what inspired me to become better at sales.
It's a very inspiring movie.
It is an inspiring movie. For a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons of which we cannot name.
You know, if Sean Austin wasn't Rudy, I probably would like the movie better. But his face is just unwatchable sometimes. He's got such soft cheeks. You just feel like what would it feel like to just smack them cheeks? They just wow, they just bounce right off. It's like a trampoline. I don't know. These are my thoughts that go through my head every day. He's got fat cheeks, man.
What in the world, man?
Sorry.
Are you hungry?
No. I ate before I came to work. I made a quesadilla.
Chicken?
No, just cheese.
Cheese quesadilla?
No, I wasn't really hungry.
Not a pizzadilla?
No, I don't have no pepperonis. I gotta go shopping soon.
Like the...
My cupboard's kind of bare.
Man.
Went on vacation. I'm just eating scraps now. I'm eating like PB&J sandwiches with Lay's chips on them.
Man, I'm a big pizzadilla guy. So throw some pepperonis.
You put pepperoni on any and everything, Jake.
Some bacon.
Those,
Fire.
Those pizza pretzels. From like
not a pizza pretzel guy.
Really? Big fan of pretzels. And
granted,
pizza
the last one I had,
on
I was very sick when I got done with it. That's probably why I don't like them. It's like if you were to hand me the MRE pizza, I would probably hate pizza for the rest of my life because of that.
Really?
Yeah, dude. MRE pizza. Like, that's the thing about MREs is you get those and it ruins spaghetti for me. That's a food that an MRE ruined.
Spaghetti's just... It's got to be made perfect.
I make a damn good spaghetti. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. John Dunn will be joining us at 7:20 right here on Fan Run Radio.